Welcome to another Avcon WOW Aviation Consulting Company podcast hosted by Paul Ritchie. The reason for this and another Avcon produced podcast is to bring interesting and relevant news and information to podcast listeners as to things and issues that matter to the aviation industry. For those of us fortunate enough to be a part of this industry, we can say that it is never routine that all of its participants need to be able to turn on a dime as we navigate through new challenges as they arise. On today's show, we're honored to be able to welcome Suzanne Sarr and Michael Latrue from Pure Fog Canada. Welcome, Suzanne and Michael. Could you please share with us a brief history about yourselves?
Certainly.
Thank you, Paul. I'll let Mike start.
Oh, excellent. Well, thank you, Paul, for having us. As you mentioned, my name is Michael Latrue at Pure Fog Canada. Fairly young company. We started just over a year ago now. Brief history about myself. Back in the day, I was a student. I'm still a student of life right now, but studied in biology and biotechnology at the University of Ottawa. Did a lot of business to business consulting and sales in the chemical industry, as well as a lot of research and development in biology. And then from there, I migrated into becoming an entrepreneur and a fellow business owner. And through that process, I had the fortunate element of being able to meet some fantastic people along the way, and one of them being Suzanne.
Oh, thank you, Michael. I'm Suzanne Sear, born and raised in Ottawa, a little French girl from the East End. I have been a business entrepreneur for over 30 years. I've had the privilege of working restaurants, gas stations, convenience stores, to solar companies, just to name a few. And over the course of the years, I've certainly had some challenging companies and always with a good sight in view. However, Pure Fog has really, how can I say that, is touched me in a very passionate way as we're trying to help millions of people get back on their feet and to travel from an A to from A to B in a secure and clean environment, if I may say. So excited to share some of our components or some of our benefits of the company today.
That's excellent because, quite frankly, aviation is desperately looking for a way to be able to get back up in the air and to encourage passengers to travel. And the field is not at risk, right? Not at risk because I've sitting in this airplane for X number of hours. So what's going to happen? What do I touch? What's the air I breathe? Am I going to get COVID? The case might be. So this is going to be a key point as we carry on with our interview this morning. So it's an excellent entry into perhaps next question. That is, how did the two of you get together as it applies to your products and service? Most interested to learn about that.
Go ahead, Michael.
So being an entrepreneur, I run a few different business facets, and through my networking, I met a gentleman by the name of Bernie, and when we got to discussing the whole element of COVID and disinfection and just generally the world of sanitation and disinfection, we got to talking about different elements in different industries, in our case with in regards to HOCL, and then he had basically mentioned a lovely lady he knew that he's working with from in the world of equipment to basically disseminate such elements, and that's how I came to meet Suzanne, and then a growing relationship grew from there between my mother company Solutions H2O and how we got introduced to Suzanne and her team through Bernie at Clean Shields. And then together we saw that we had a lot of the same values and views on how we would like to see certain elements come to the markets and the field for people from a business consumption, but also from a consumer level as far as just a general retail. And so we thought it might be a good idea to take that discussion further, and eventually PureFog Canada was born through a partnership between two similar companies that have that same vision, just different components. So Solutions H2O had the idea of the juice, so to speak, to go into to be disseminated, and Clean Shields bring a fantastic array of different products from a dissemination standpoint. So a lot of the equipment that would be required to bring all the magic or the science of the product or the HFCl to the market, so that it can be properly disseminated in a safe, efficient way.
Fascinating. So
yeah.
Let's dive a bit deeper. And how did you come up with the concept of these two products, both the surface cleaner that was already in production, and then of course the airborne product that's now under development? So how did you move to your current service as PureFog Canada?
Well, it's an interesting adventure. So in my past, my partners and I at Solutions H2O, we all worked in the chemical industry. I myself specialized in food sanitation. So I helped develop HACCP protocols and worked with several government agencies in that capacity. So, I mean, surface disinfection and sanitation has always been an element that I've known and worked with. So there's a lot of different products out there. The only element that tends to be missing is a product that you don't require a lot of PPE to be able to use it with. Because most disinfectants and sanitizers that are currently out there, I mean, they're not overly dangerous. However, you do require, depending on how you're disseminating it and what its actual usage is going to be, you'll always require gloves, goggles, in some cases even rebreather masks. So we wanted to have a product out there that was a lot more viable. And that didn't depend too much on outside resources, because when it comes to chemical disinfection and sanitation, a lot of raw materials are required for that. And generally, the process itself can be quite detrimental to the environment. And being a little bit more environmentally sound of mind, and, you know, we wanted to bring something that could help alleviate a lot of pressures on the sanitation side without necessarily adding more pressure to the environment. We, through research, we discovered HOCl, which is a great product overall. It was used a lot in Europe, was discovered many, many years ago. And so that's where we basically got started. And then through that education of ourselves, we decided to start producing it through some partners that we have in Europe from the equipment standpoint. But then from there, again, because there are so many different surface sanitizers and disinfectants out there, to differentiate ourselves, the element that we work with is HOCl, which, as I mentioned, is very abundant to be able to fabricate. And then from there, we decide to, with Suzanne and her team at Clean Shields, we develop PureFog. And then, because although there's a lot of surface disinfectants, there's very little in the way of elements that can be used to disinfect the air itself or even sanitize the air outside of physical filters and those elements. There's no product out there that is officially sanctioned by any government entity to actually disinfect the air, unless that's safe for people to be in the same room as. So, I mean, there's elements out there you can use to disinfect the air. However, it's highly toxic in all cases. And so if you can't be in the same room for X amount of time until the room clears out, well, you're losing productivity. Whereas with an element like HOCl, you can get all the same results of disinfection and sanitation without the drawbacks of having it being toxic to a human or animals or even plants. So that's how we came to start developing that element from a fogging process.
Well, that's crucial, because aircraft, you can't sit around and wait for the chemical to settle before your aircraft goes back out again, because
exactly.
Turn around, or if it's running late, it becomes even more challenging. But you
Absolutely.
use the term HOCl. What is HOCl for those of us that aren't involved in the chemical industry?
Yeah, well, HOCl is it's short form for hypochlorous acid. Hypochlorous acid is an element that's naturally produced by our immune systems. So it's been around for quite a long time. Our white blood cells actually produce hypochlorous acid to take care of pathogens that enter our bodies. It's our defense mechanism. So HOCl has existed for quite some time, and it was basically discovered to be we were able to start producing it artificially during the First World Wars. So they would use it on the field quite a bit. But it hasn't been up until probably about a decade or so ago that you couldn't really find hypochlorous acid in the mainstream markets from a retail perspective, because there was always the issue of stability. Having a stable hypochlorous acid was generally very, very hard to attain because you could produce it, but it would only really be stable for between 24 to 48 hours at best. Now there are technologies in place where we can produce it, and it will remain stable on a shelf for up to a year, and in some cases up to two. So
wow,
that's
that's a huge step forward, eh? So
yeah, so it's that's why it's never been really used in general in the marketplace, unless you were able to produce it on site. But now, because we are able to produce it, a stable compound that can be used in many industries, that's where right now we're seeing, you know, we're going to start seeing a little bit more hypochlorous acid products out in the marketplace, although I don't foresee it flooding the market anytime soon. It'll be a few years. But if we can help a few key demographics and a few key industries with its benefits. And I mean, I think it has a lot of potential for growth. Absolutely.
So is there anything that HOCl can't handle?
Not to my knowledge. There's been a lot of extensive research over the years when it comes to HOCl and hypochlorous acid. There's many, many scientific resources out there that are verified and third-party validated, PubMed, NIH. There's so much information out there. The biggest, I guess, the biggest factor with HOCl when it comes as far as a limitation, once you start using it, it's again, it becomes that stability aspect. So although it can sit on a shelf for up to a year, I mean, if you left an open bottle out in the open, it's you know, it's similar in as far as an evaporation to chlorine. Eventually, it, you know, it loses its potency as time progresses. If you were to say open, you know, leave an open canister like many products out there.
Yeah, many products.
Right.
Paint or whatever. Right. Or
exactly.
Gasoline container, it all evaporates or.
Yeah,
it goes bad.
So it doesn't really have any limitations as far as when it comes to pathogens. In general, it'll remediate any pathogens within a minute or less. It'll depend on the media that you're using. So whether it's be a liquid or a mist or a fog. I mean, when it comes to biology and pathogens. There's a few key factors to keep in mind. Usually it's, you know, concentration of your product and then exposure time. Those are really two key elements that really determine how effective a product can be against pathogens. And in hypochlorous acid's case, because it is an element that is more towards neutral when it comes to its charge, it has a lot of ease basically penetrating membranes of pathogens. So it actually works a lot faster than your standard bleaches, chlorines, and hypochlorites, because those elements tend to be negatively charged, which is basically the same charge of many, many pathogen membranes. So although they are effective at killing pathogens, the exposure time is usually longer, but it's also, you need a higher concentration to actually get the job done. Whereas with hypochlorous acid, very well documented, it can be up to 100 to 300 times more efficient and effective than most chlorines.
Well, that's the major drawing card, needless to say, right? 100 to 300 times more effective, my goodness.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's very well documented. I mean, I don't tell it without having the documentation behind me. So it was an element that we studied quite extensively before wanting to bring a variation of it to the market. So it's a very versatile product, and it's pretty nice that way.
Exciting.
Michael, perhaps you can mention how the dentists or doctors or even Europe are utilizing it to clean wounds for the animals.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, one of the elements that with at Solutions H2O that we've used hypochlorous acid for is within the agriculture field, because again, it doesn't harm our biologies. So cattle farmers, chickens, all the poultry farmers, as well as porcine farmers, they use hypochlorous quite extensively, especially in the foot baths, because a large, an element that gets tracked in and out from a pathogen standpoint usually comes from outside coming into their enclosures,
Absolutely.
right? So they always have fresh hypochlorous acid flowing into their foot baths to prevent cross-contamination from outside to inside. And then when it comes to dentists, and even in several cases, doctors in the European Union, they'll use hypochlorous acid to clean their surfaces, disinfect their surfaces, and even to the point where in dentistry, in many cases, they'll also use it to help rinse out cavities and such to help with the disinfection process. And one of the reasons they use it during the World Wars was because it was very, very effective as a wound cleanser, and then actually helped the wounds heal slightly faster. So.
Sounds as if there's almost unlimited opportunities for you, especially in the world today where people are concerned about not only the current pandemic, but future, right? And what can we
Oh,
do
yeah,
to try
no.
to stop anything from spreading, whether it's for the dentist's
Absolutely.
office or for the animal food chain or through mass transit? I mean, we're talking
Yep.
aviation today, but I would think that subways and buses would also be particularly interested in your product, would you not?
Yes, indeed. The only limiting factor there is just making sure that it crosses all the T's and dots all the I's from a health and safety perspective in accordance to the federal regulations, which is an element that unfortunately HOCl is still very much in its infancy there. So that's the biggest hurdle when it comes to hypochlorous acid, is just making sure that everyone is well aware of it and its safety elements. So there's still a lot of testing happening in the background, especially when it comes to the fogging aspect. From a surface, liquid surface
That's pretty
sanitation aspect,
straightforward.
that's very well documented. That's already approved on several fronts with the products that we have. But from the dry fogging aspect, that one there is, we're still in heavy testing, and already have many promising results. Now it's just about continuing the testing with the guidance of Health Canada to make sure that we cover all the bases, so that moving forward, especially all the public entities can rest assured that they can use the product without any repercussions.
So this is perfect opportunity to ask, how do you envision now your products, the services, equipment being applied in the aviation sector?
Well, there's a lot of different facets. So depending on the concentration being used of hypochlorous acid, I mean, as you've heard so far, I mean, it could have potentially unlimited usages, from a simple hand sanitizer right down to a full jetway decontamination system. So for example, if I look at just an airport in general, they could be using a hypochlorous solution, when it comes to just cleaning all the hot spots or high touch areas, from to just wipe those down during their regular cleaning their cleaning sort of routines, and disinfection routines that they already have in place. When it comes to hand sanitizer stations, they literally could have that. Instead of your traditional alcohols, or even to a certain point, quaternary sanitizers, which tend to do more harm than good on skin.
Yes.
And well, alcohol also, with overusage tends to dry out skin, whereas hypochlorous acid doesn't have that effect. It doesn't harm your skin. It actually leaves it quite soft, and tends to help help retain its moisture and everything else. It doesn't dry your skin out. So just that's from a, you know, from a consumer perspective, it can be used there. And then when it comes to the aircraft and the entire boarding situation, literally they could create a barrier between the outside world and within the aircraft using hypochlorous solutions from a fogging perspective, pending approvals and those elements. But you could literally have, for example, a jetway have a fog system where they would disseminate the fog throughout the jetway, and then because it's safe for people could walk through a jetway and effectively get disinfected or decontaminated to a certain degree while walking through the jetway. And then of the same token, they could also, prior to boarding or right after a deboarding of previous passengers, they could have the inside of an aircraft fogged, but once the fogging machine is out of the aircraft, they can start boarding right away. There's no delay.
No downtime.
There's no downtime there because again, it's safe for people.
So how long does a defogging take place for a larger aircraft using your equipment? Do you just simply walk it down the aisle?
So because you're walking it down the aisle, you could fog an aircraft relatively quickly. From a stationary standpoint, we've done testing with different size of our units. One of our smaller units, you could fog a 2,000 square foot space within about 15 minutes. Within an aircraft, because the aircraft, aircraft can be pretty big, because they are still, a contained environment, we would design a fogging unit that has multiple sort of outlets, and then you could just walk a fogging unit down the aisle. So you could probably effectively fog a relatively large aircraft within 5 to 10 minutes. And then with hypochlorous acid, because of the way it works and fogging in general, you'll always have a dwell of the product in the air for some time, and eventually, because airplanes have such sophisticated HVAC systems within, the HVAC system will also help to recirculate the hypochlorous acid throughout the environment as well. One, it would also, it would help to keep the HVAC units themselves sanitized.
Of debris, of possible sources of germs.
Exactly.
So is there a smell, or is it something you actually can see, or is it invisible?
So So when you fog the environment, you can see it because it is attached to water droplets, right? So it'll be like any kind of smoke or fog that you would normally see, and eventually it dissipates. It dissipates quite quickly. I mean, it doesn't linger too long. As far as the smell, generally speaking, you might have a faint chlorine smell because hypochlorous acid is a derivative of the chlorine elements. Although it's very, very faint, and that also dissipates within minutes of being disseminated. So at least you know that there's something there. But generally speaking, hypochlorous acid itself is usually unscented. The reason that there tends to be a small scent with the products that we're producing on a larger scale is because to maintain stability of hypochlorous acid, you need to keep a certain pH, and that pH, as it changes, might release slightly more hypochlorites, which in turn gives that slight chlorine smell. So then you know that there's product there, so you're good to go.
So it's a kind of a form of affirmation. Affirmation
yeah.
that it's actually there,
yeah.
it's actually working.
Yeah.
And that's important.
Absolutely.
So the word acid may be a public fear. Acid is corrosive, right? It could be
yep.
dangerous, at least in the minds of the public. How about you overcome that?
So the reason it's called hypochlorous acid is just it's the term that's always been used. However, it is neutral. So it's not corrosive at all, which is,
okay.
so it's kind of a misnomer. So it maintains a pH of between 6.5 to 7. So if we look at human skin's pH is typically in that range. So that's pretty neutral. The only times we've ever seen any elements get be affected by hypochlorous acid or hypochlorous solutions is if we've seen competitor solutions where they add different elements other than the base ingredients to further stabilize or try to add elements within it, especially oils for scents and those elements from an olfactory perspective to make it smell nice. When you add elements to it to try and change that changes its pH. As the pH increases, more hypochlorites are produced and get released. Those can cause harm to surfaces, including soft metals and fabrics and such. So you try and maintain a certain pH so that you don't have that element.
Fascinating. So, what would be the expected return on investment, both in terms of safety and restoring the traveler's confidence in flying and financially for an airport and/or an airline user? What would encourage them to seriously look at and engage your services?
Well, there's a lot of different factors there. We were actually discussing that yesterday and today, simply because it is a question that we have been asked, because with the onset of what's been happening in the world now for the last almost 2 years, there's a lot of new processes being included in certain el and cert to certain aspects. So, example with the airline industry, they're having to add additional steps now for the decontamination of aircraft and cleaning the airports. So one of the nice elements with hypochlorous solutions or HOCl is because it is so safe to use, you don't require any PPE of any kind to actually use it. You can use it liberally. Whether the airports are open or closed, you don't have to double up on staff in the evenings, paying them additional dollars to actually clean and decontaminate an airport after hours when there's no one in the place. So you can basically just add it to their current regular daily routine without having to incur any additional costs from that point. When it comes to the aircraft themselves, again, there are new protocols being put in place. This here would basically help them to increase turnaround times, because one element with a lot of the products that they tend to be using currently is when you're disseminating products in the air, in many cases they have to wait till the aircraft is basically vented out before they can allow people to board. With HOCl, there isn't that downtime. You don't have to wait for it to basically get expelled from the aircraft,
Yeah, that's the major driving part right there. And I
mean,
Time is money. Time is
time
money.
is money, absolutely. I mean, my wife worked for 10 years for Delta Airlines, so I'm very well versed in how
I
those
bet.
that t how that time can cost dollars, and I know that if planes leave late, they get fines. The airlines get a fine from the airport, and those fines can be pretty aggressive. So with a solution and systems like the ones that we're developing and offering and putting the final pieces into place for, it could be a very viable solution to help turn around aircraft very quickly. And further that is, as I mentioned, the idea of fogging a jetway just to ensure that when passengers are coming in, they're not dragging in pathogens that could have been floating around, whether it be outside in the airport. Because people, I mean, humans are humans. We do all kinds of things. We cough, we sneeze, we probably put our hands where we shouldn't and then touch other things. So we try, we want to try and mitigate all of those elements, prior to getting onto an aircraft. And having a few key elements in place that help to alleviate that or mitigate it to a high percentage can definitely will definitely reflect overall from, say, a cross-contamination standpoint.
Fascinating, and that's very encouraging. I mean, so you talked about the concept of putting on the jetway as people walking through the aircraft, and as the mist or whatever is there, would people end up getting water droplets on their glasses? Nope. Okay. So
Nope,
they
no, it's
wouldn't even know that it's there,
yeah,
basically.
they wouldn't even notice. They would be like walking through I don't know if you've ever been to, through to a concert, not necessarily a concert or a festival where they tend to have smoke machines.
Okay, yeah, okay.
So basically it's same sort of element. Because the systems that we're using right now, when it comes to disseminating the product, we have two different systems depending on how large of an area needs to be treated. So for tighter areas that don't require a lot of velocity, we use ultrasonics to disseminate the product, which basically breaks down the liquid to a what you know basically 3 microns. 3 microns is hardly detectable. You only really start getting wet and water droplets when you're going over 20 to 25. So people walking through the mist, unless they actually stayed in the fog, basically right in front of the unit or the outlet, that would probably be the only time they would start getting, you know, a little bit of humidity and a little wet. Otherwise you're looking at, maybe a 3% humidity difference overall within a space. That being said, we have other units that use special nozzles and high velocity to disseminate the product. Same thing. You wouldn't get wet unless you were sitting or standing right in front of the nozzle, in essence, getting the majority of whatever is coming out. And because the nozzle is also designed to basically disseminate the product at approximately a 3 to 5 micron size.
Because people at times in the jetway stop, right?
Someone's they do.
Slow and storing their bag on the aircraft.
Yep.
Can't find their seat. Everybody comes to a dead stop. And so if you got someone standing under the nozzle, they may get more than what they need to get. Would you, have you considered putting the sensor that shows if someone is not moving, that the system pauses?
That's definitely something we could consider. However, in elements like jetways, we would likely leverage the HVAC systems within the jetways to disseminate the product. So there, you would never have anyone being directly exposed to a direct nozzle.
Okay.
It would always be circulating. So I wouldn't expect anybody getting wet from actually being exposed to HOCl or the solution that we have.
Okay, so let's look at it from a different perspective. I'm an airport manager, and I know I need to do something about reducing the risk of the spread of pandemics or other problems that are out there out in the future. And you come to me and say, hey, I have this great service. Say, yeah, okay. But you know what? I've had 5 or 6 people come to me. They have amazing claims, okay? We'll talk about what they offer. What makes you different than what others currently offer? Why would I seriously consider your services or your product or your equipment over somebody else?
That's an excellent question.
Yeah, here, I'll let Suzanne start with that one. I think I've taken up enough of the time.
Well, I'll start, Mike, and then you can probably jump in. First off, Michael covered quite a bit. This is a very easy to use product. It's non-toxic. It leaves no residue, environmentally friendly. There's no PPE required. And I don't know if you've had the opportunity, Paul, to see some of the products out there, but some products that after using it for a certain period of time, material can start to deteriorate, and you will not find this with HOCl. Michael, perhaps you would like to chat about raw material and explain how HOCl is made.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. So that's another facet. So earlier on, we mentioned how, you know, we wanted to bring a product to market that's more sustainable and not directly attached to any particular raw materials that if we were to run out of, you know, we wouldn't be able to produce a product. So in the case of HOCl, the ingredients are very quite simple. It's literally water, salt, and electricity. So as long as we have electricity being produced, we can actually produce HOCl with just water and salt. There's a process for that. And so whereas with a lot of the other chemicals that are out there right now or other solutions, if we were to compare, say, a liquid to liquid, for example, from a liquid to liquid, if you look at, say, quaternary sanitizers or even alcohol sanitizers, we saw it at the beginning of the COVID pandemic, for example, there was a large demand for alcohol sanitizers. And overnight, literally, we ran out. And then it was weeks and sometimes months before you could expect to get any additional alcohol sanitizer into your hands because there was just not enough of it to go around, and it
Right.
was and you couldn't produce it because there was a lack of raw materials. Same element could happen with other types of disinfectants and sanitizers that are chemical based. I look at quaternary sanitizers, same thing. Quaternary sanitizers require a lot of base ingredients on raw materials. So if you were ever to not have access to those raw materials, or for some reason the raw materials, all of a sudden there's an enormous spike in price because of demand, you're basically you're left at the mercy of the supplier to supply you with those elements. Whereas with HOCl and the solutions that we're bringing to the table, a future iteration of this, so now we have the product available for people to use and consume. However, when it comes to large institutions and establishments, we're already thinking three steps ahead. Is what we would like to see is have all of these institution establishments have their own production capacity in-house, because it is so easy to make. Well, easy, that's a relative term. We are able to make mobile systems or generation systems that, you know, we certify and maintain for the establishment, but then they can basically produce the quantity they need on a daily basis for all the different facets of the disinfection and sanitation element, to be able to take care of their establishment. So they're no longer tied to one supplier. They basically become self-sufficient, which is a few steps down the road, but that's the ultimate goal. Whereas with HOCl, because the raw materials are always readily available, you wouldn't see enormous swings in prices, or you would never be stuck without it. Let's put it that way. The capacity of producing HOCl is really just limited to the volume produced by our process. And right now, our process can generate approximately close to 100,000 liters a day of product, if need be. So we're, you know, because again, water is pretty abundant, which is why we have a facility in Quebec. So it's made here in Canada, and same thing with salt. Salt is salt. It's everywhere. So
right. Yeah.
Exactly. So that's when you look at a liquid to liquid sort of comparison. Otherwise, other systems that are out there right now, we see a lot of solutions coming out in the form of UV lights, which are a great technology. The issue with UV lights that I, you know, from studying it and educating myself on it is the wavelength and the exposure time. So if you remember earlier on, we discussed, you know, a prime element to basically take care of pathogens is usually concentration of what you're exposing them to, and then exposure time. UV light can be very effective because, yes, UV does degrade DNA. However, with UV lights, you need a long exposure time or a very short wave, or you need to be very, very close to whatever you're exposing. Because the further you are from whatever you're exposing to the UV light, the longer it has to be exposed to that UV light. So when you're talking about, you know, irradiating a plane, for example, literally, if depending on how wide the lights are, you might have to keep that UV light on a row for 5 to 10 minutes before moving to the next row.
This sounds as if it's very
and then and then keep going, right?
Lots of equipment and TVs
exactly,
and
I mean, it, yeah. So it could be time consuming. And then the other element is. Yeah. The only way to sort of alleviate the timing element is using a different type of UV spectrum. But if you use a more aggressive spectrum, but then you're also exposing the people to right. So there's pros and cons to every type of solution. I mean, it's not that HOCl is the be all end all. It's just it alleviates a lot of the check boxes from an operational
with
standpoint.
The least amount of risk.
Yeah.
That people involved, right?
And because UV lights work. Like I said, they work well within a certain frame.
Yeah.
I know a lot of people that use them within water systems. But in water systems, for a UV light to be effective, the water has to be exposed to it over a long, long piece of time. So to do that, they basically lace UV lights all around a waterway, and then it has to be within 4 inches of the water.
And what is the tendency to change?
To be effective. Yeah. So the only way for you, in my mind anyway, I mean, I'm not a UV engineer, but I would think for UVs to be effective within an aircraft, for example, in essence, they would have to install UV lights inside the aircraft. So it's basically a part of the aircraft, and then between boarding, new passengers and after the old passengers have basically gotten off the plane, they would basically have to turn on all those UV lights, let the plane basically bathe in its own lights for 10 to 20 minutes before the next batch of people come on board. So, but again, the only difficulty with UV is it'll only kill whatever it's exposed to. So if you have, nooks and crannies don't really work.
Could be missed with shadows.
Right. There can be a lot of things that could be missed. So, I mean, it, again, pros and cons to all solutions, right? I mean, no solution is perfect. It's about which one that works best for you and your
overall
industry.
Yeah.
Right. So.
What you've not talked about is cost. How competitive or how effective is your product compared to other options that are out there?
Yeah. So when it comes to the overall cost, I mean, from a usage perspective, when you're fogging the product, it basically boils down to about 3 cents a square foot, more or less. Because when you're fogging the product to fog 2,000 square feet, for example, you're using approximately 2 liters of product. And the product itself, if say you were to buy it, as a regular consumer, you're buying it, 16 liters of it for approximately $135. So if you break that down to per liter cost, and then break that down further depending on what you're using it for, from a either fogging perspective or surface sanitizer perspective, I mean, we're basically on par with a lot of the other standard surface disinfection out there. So it's definitely not more. In some cases, it's less. It really depends
very
on how
much.
Yeah, it depends
very much
on how
less.
It's because then, but as soon as you factor in PPE requirements, training requirements, then absolutely HOCL becomes a much more cost-effective element because of the key ingredients in HOCL and the fact that it's non-toxic to people. The WMIS element, health and safety element, you clear all that. There's no more element of litigation or, what happens if you spill this on the floor? Do you need a spill kit? No, you just mop it up. If someone spills it on their hands, do they have to rinse their hands for 15 minutes losing 15 minutes of productivity? Are they going to have to get rushed to the hospital? No, it's basically salty water. So you remove a lot of those barriers that add additional costs down the road. So we when you take all of those elements into account, it becomes quite cost effective especially from an operational standpoint, in elements, especially in the airline industry, where it's one of those industries where safety is absolutely number one, if dare I say, before number one when it comes to making sure that everything is kosher on that front.
Well, absolutely. Aviation,
right?
It's all about safety.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So when you want a safe product, if you can alleviate and basically bring a product that checks all those safety boxes, absolutely you're coming out ahead. So it's just a question of getting the go ahead from the different aviation powers that be, because I mean having worked within a chemical industry, my business partner at Solutions HCO, Jack, he worked very closely with many airlines in the Montreal area. And we know that any product that an airline wishes to purchase needs to be basically FAA tested and approved. So that's another element that, we're working on as well, where we need to make sure that all those checkboxes are cleared. Now, however, being that it was a pandemic, there's a lot of products that, had been sort of approved under emergency measures. So they speed track the process. However, we know a lot of these products and what they do to electronics, for example, and those elements, Right. So, I mean, it's all, I mean, I know they want to portray that they're doing more. However, it's,
there's
you
a
want to
longer
do,
term
you
cost.
do want to do more, but what's the long-term repercussion of sort of fast tracking an element like that? So it all boils down to, you know, like the today cost is one element, but then it's just the cost tomorrow and a week from now and a month from now.
Well, yeah, correct. Because if
right.
you look at an aircraft, it's a very complicated piece of equipment.
Oh,
that
it's
is
very
loaded
sophisticated.
With electronics and computers and
yep.
fly-by-wire systems, the case may be, which is not actual wires, but it's actual signals sent to various actuators on the aircraft to get the wings to do certain things and flaps and leading edge flaps
and
tracks and things of that nature. And if you have chemicals that end up corroding somehow, or
mm-hmm.
impacting electronics, the cost long-term to the air carrier is very significant, never mind the potential risk. So what
Absolutely.
You're saying is that your fluid does not fall into that category and does
No.
not create
No.
those potential longer-term consequences that are there, which air carriers, of course, need to be interested in, as do the regulators, the FAA and Transport Canada's of the world.
Absolutely.
Need to be very interested in that as well.
Yeah.
So, as we bring this amazing, fascinating discussion about your products, I think it's really exciting, and hopefully more airlines and airports will discover it and want to use it because it's good for us as people, as the public, right?
Yes, absolutely.
And I'm assuming this is also good for hospitals?
In theory, it is. But so with our line of products that we currently have approved by with Health Canada from a surface disinfection element, absolutely they're absolutely encouraged to use it. Whether they choose to or not to is entirely up to them, but yes, it is authorized as well as very effective and efficient within that the hospital segment or any kind of commercial segment when it comes to, you know, your standard disinfection of surfaces. So, you know, you spray it on, wipe it off. Because of all the HOCL products out there currently, the one that we carry is the only one that's technically been tested directly against COVID versus similar viruses. And it's been very well documented for sub 60 second kill time. So
wow.
Whereas the standard is 10 minutes from a health. Well, I mean, just a quick word on that one is the reason most elements just, you know, say it needs a 10 minute contact time is because that's what it was tested for within labs. In many cases, sanitizers do better than that. But from a Health Canada perspective, that's the minimum requirement for being classified as an authorized sanitizer or disinfectant. It requires a 10-minute contact time. Now, if people choose to test against a shorter contact time, it's at their own risk and peril, because if it doesn't do the contact time that they're testing against, that is also public. It also becomes publicized,
yes.
Right? So we were very confident in the product and its capability, so we went ahead with the 60 second timing and knocked it out of the park. So we're able to publicly disclose that, and Health Canada would have disclosed it if, let's say, it didn't follow the 60 seconds. That also would have been disclosed at some point, right? So it's always so technically we're the only ones that hold that I guess that trophy, you could say.
That's a major selling point for your product. I mean,
oh, absolutely! It saves so much time. It saves so much time. That's the authorized registered timing.
Time and money.
Yeah, hypochlorous acid is effective in as little as 10 seconds. I mean, it depends on concentration and exposure, and the media that you're using it in. So as a liquid, hypochlorous solutions or hypochlorous acid is very, very effective in a liquid format. In a fog format, it takes a little bit more time, but it is still very, very effective and efficient. And the fact that it's not toxic to people is, you could walk into a room that has just been fogged and have no repercussions, no problems at all. In the worst case scenario, you might feel a slight irritation, similar to what you would get if you were to stay inside an enclosed pool area for over 20 minutes. I mean, because chlorine is always evaporating. I don't know if you've ever experienced this, but many people do. Those that are more sensitive to chlorines, for example, if they're in an area, in an enclosed pool, like an Olympic pool stadium or something of that nature, chlorine's always evaporating. That's why, you know, the classic pool smell. After some time, you'll start feeling, you know, a slight irritation in your throat. That potentially could happen with HOCl, depending, again, on exposure time and how sensitive you are to it. But that's about the extent of it.
Amazing. So how can people contact you for additional information or to purchase your unique and amazing product?
I'll let Suzanne answer that one.
Thank you, Paul. They can reach us on our website, which is purefogcanada.com. Okay. And actually, Michael's bio is there as well, which he's our chief technical officer, and Michael is pretty humble, but he's got several certifications under his belt. And all the information is on our website, or they can actually, there's a toll-free number there as well on the purefogcanada.com.
Well, I'd like to thank both of you for your participation and amazing clarity as to what you brought to the listeners. As to a badly needed service. I mean, even when this pandemic is over, we have to guard against the next one. And so anything
Absolutely.
That we could do in the public forum where massive people gather, whether it's an airport or a hockey arena or a concert, or even a restaurant, right? I mean, if this product can continue to grow, and as you say, it's so user-friendly, you know, not only to people, but also to the environment, that may go a long way to helping prevent common spread of what it is we're facing today with all the costs and consequences. So I'd like to thank both of you for being part of our show today. And listeners, please stay tuned for the next show. It'll be coming up in the not-too-distant future. So thank you, everybody, for joining us today.